Moncrief on News Talk.
In clothes, is there such a thing as standard sizing? If, say, you're a size 12, why is it that sometimes a size 12 will fit you, and other times it's three times too big for you? Emily Keegan reports.
Can someone zip me up?
It won't close.
It's a 5.
Okay, it must be marked wrong.
Ma'am, do you have this in the next size up?
Sorry, we only carry sizes 1, 3, and 5. You could try Sears.
Ah yes, the famous words of Mean Girls' Regina George. But we've all been there in some way or another. Have you ever walked into a shop, picked up a pair of jeans or a top or a jacket in what you believe is your usual size to find it looks much smaller or much bigger? Have you then ever compared it to another piece of clothing in the same shop, in the same size, and found the measurements are completely different? And we've definitely all had that experience when you buy a similar piece of clothing in two shops to find the sizes are way off each other. You wouldn't be the only person to think, why can't a standard size small or medium or large be the same everywhere for everything? But that's just the thing. There is no standard size small or medium or large because standardized clothing just doesn't exist. So what's the point of having sizes at all? And why do they even exist in the first place? Laura Jordan, founder of Style Savvy, actually has an answer for that.
The origins of sizing is probably from the 50s in terms of how they're labeled. But the very start of creating any sort of sizing in garments was for World War One. So pre that time, all of your clothes was made to measure. Every single person had a tailor where they could afford it, and were, you know, hand-me-downs still were being altered individually by either a member of the family or by a professional. Once war broke out, you needed mass production of uniforms. And in order to fit the soldiers, they needed to be benchmarked, like in terms of sizes. It actually was the Second World War when it moved from the practical military element into the commercial retail. And we saw a huge change in the way women and men shop. When we look at the 50s and 60s, we see the emergence of the high street. We see brands who need to find a way of measuring, labeling their clothes to guide their customers into what works for them. Marks and Spencer were one of the first in the UK. They were called St. Michael at that time, and Wallace were another kind of early leader in that.
Then have the sizes changed since then? Have they been updated at all, or are they, we still expected to fit in to the size that was created in the 50s to 60s?
It's interesting that there never was any standardization. Therefore, any brand can decide that any size is any dimension. It's a very rogue area.
But also, even within shops, the products themselves can vary, or like tops, the same top in a different colour can be in the same size, can actually be different sizes. Why is there such a variation there?
While there has been a huge number of calls for transparency and benchmark guidelines, you know, boundaries within the wider global community for this, it hasn't happened. You could have something as simple as a different colour, a different pattern run, a different factory for the same brand, just making a different fabric there, they made that batch, and it wasn't the same size and dimension as the one you bought the day before or the other one you tried on. It's incredibly frustrating for customers. It's incredibly frustrating for people working in the fashion industry who are trying to select garments for people and are on the consumer side.
Incredibly frustrating is definitely one way to put it. Sometimes it's just too much work to try everything on in the shop, and if you're ordering online, you don't even have that option. Nobody enjoys the effort of returning something that doesn't fit. And now we're seeing some retailers rolling out charges for customers who return too many products. But there's a whole other side to this too, body image. For those who struggle with how they look or how they perceive themselves, the lack of standardised sizing can trigger a lot of emotions. Keith Russell, founder of The Endless Spiral, is someone who's suffered with body dysmorphia for over 30 years.
Even going into a shop can be quite stressful and overwhelming. Like for a long time, I didn't want to try clothes on. I just didn't want to try clothes on in a shop. I just didn't. Because you were had that fear, I'm going to put it on, it's not going to look nice. Have I got enough sizes? Do I have to go back out? Like you catastrophize everything anyway. And then when there's inconsistent sizing, you're already feeling quite vulnerable anyway. And you put on a top and you're like, that used to be a medium. Now it's a large. And if you're already in a negative headspace, you're already going to go to that space and you're going to go straight, well, it's not the clothes, it's me. What have I done? Have I put on weight? Have I lost weight? Have I not done enough? And again, this negative spiral of thoughts just go again. When you think of even standardized clothing sizes, I think most people would probably go to female clothing. I think a lot of people think that men will just walk in, and some do, of course they do, But a lot of them don't. You walk in and just grab a t-shirt. That'll do. I'm out of here. It's a very kind of stereotypical image.
What kind of steps do you take, or what approach do you take to shopping to try and make it easier for yourself? And then what approach would you like to see shops taking to make it easier for their customers?
For convenience sake, I started doing it online. We have the same problem online. And I think a lot of it is to do with your own headspace as well. I mean, let's not just blame the shops and the clothing. It's your own headspace as well. Now I try and go with a bit more of an open mind, and I'm more comfortable in my own skin. So I'll go and I'll try two different sizes just to be on the safe side. I would love to see more standardized sizing, and I would like maybe to see more added rather than just small, medium and large. Also, this is kind of just me being a bit of a grumpy old man, but I'd like more mirrors in men's sections. You go to most shops, like one mirror. You go over to the women's section, there's like 20. I'm like, you go into a men's section, there's one mirror, and it could be three or four guys trying to look in one mirror, and you're like, I'm not even trying it. I'm not even going over to that mirror. So more mirrors, please, would be nice.
Okay, so the changes people would like to see actually don't all sound too complicated. Fairly self-explanatory, actually. But are shops and brands listening? One retailer that's taking steps in the right direction in terms of inclusivity is Penneys. The popular high street store has recently launched a whole range of clothing dedicated to people with disabilities, and they've just extended their bra range alone from 40 sizes to 68. But surely when it comes to sizing, it's not as simple as just making the same top in 10 or 11 sizes, because that top will fit each person's body completely differently. That's what I sat down with Anne-Marie Cregan, Trading Director at Primark, to ask.
So we have in-house models and they come in various sizes. We actually fit on an 18 and we fit on a 12. And in bras, we fit on four sizes. So we've got a good extension of different people. So that's the sort of physical fitting. But prior to that, we do a lot of grading work. And again, we use experts in the field to support us with that sort of grading work. And when I say grading, this is another technical term. It's the difference between one size and the next. And you can imagine when you go to 60 sizes, that while it might be a micro millimetre of a difference, it actually makes a huge difference to the customer and to the fit of that particular garment. Yeah.
How does it vary across the store? I know some things might be a strict size 8, size 10, size 12, yeah, and some might be size small, size medium. How do you decide what gets what size, and how does that work?
So product that's fit critical would be single sized. So that's tailoring, denim, some of the more woven or rigid fabrics, which require us to be, you know, more probably granular in sizing. And then less fit critical, nightwear, leisure wear, some of our jersey where, you know, we it's not as fit critical, will come in what we call alpha sizes, which is where you get small, medium, large.
Do you ever get feedback from shoppers? I mean, we often see online people saying that they're a size 12 in Zara and a size 14 in Penneys, whatever it might be. But how do you respond when you see these kind of conversations happening online?
Yeah, and I think we've used a lot of the online feedback and the data insights from what our customers are telling us to make the right decisions. And we know we have work to do on consistency of fit, and working again with experts, we're doing our utmost to be able to give consistency of fit across our clothing, our underwear and our nightwear ranges.
Obviously, we've spoken a lot about women here because their sizes do vary a bit more than men. But are you looking into these kind of things in the men's section as well?
Well, we've gone now from XS on men to 3XL. So that's a growth from 2XL to 3XL. So that's our first step, but we're learning all the time. And we've also now got over 70% of our clothing in 2XS. So it's not just at the exit, it's also at the entry sizes to ensure that we have something for everyone.
That all sounds great, but that's one store, and without standardised sizing across the board, it won't really go very far. It's clear people want more consistency and transparency across the board. It'll help the environment by creating less textile waste, it'll make shopping for clothes less difficult for those who struggle with body image, and all round, it'd just make life so much easier. But we know these things take time, so Laura has some advice for shoppers in the meantime.
The most important thing is to know that it's not your fault. It is not on you. It is frustrating, but that has become a feature of shopping now. To look, if you're shopping online, please do use the fit guides. Some of them are quite good. There is new tech, and AI in particular is coming aboard. Sizeable is an Irish company who are looking at adjusting quite cleverly your measurements to the measurements of the products on a particular website. Again, that's been piloted currently. We need to see it in lots more places. So checking your size guide, some of the stores are particularly good. You give basic measurements and they save that. So they'll guide you into what size will work for you each time you revisit their app or revisit their website. And when you're in store, it's literally a case of, you know, please try on, don't grab and go. You're going to be disheartened, and please know that the sizes are the things changing, not you.
There you go. That's a report there from Emily Keegan.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.